between all of you, obviously, that this was something that was very special that you guys were getting involved in, because people don't get the chance. There are a lot of people that don't get a chance to even see New York, let alone where you guys went
to. Yes, no.
Yes.
It was something that a lot of the different people who were working the festival and directors all said, is that there are people who do this for a living and go their entire careers and don't step foot on the Carnegie Hall stage. So it was an incredibly special thing to be able to perform there with this choir and this community. It was incredible because it is so rare and such... that's all I can really say. It's such a rare experience and so special.
What did you guys take in when you were there at Carnegie Hall? Was it the size of the place? Was it the majesty of the whole thing? What was it?
Kind of everything. I remember just stepping in there and, well, I didn't even step in yet, and the doors were open. I was in line to walk on stage with the rest of the choir, and I just got a glimpse of it as I was rounding the corner, and I was just awestruck. And every time that something different would happen, we would sing a note, or we would have a time when all the orchestra cut out and we sang, and then we would cut out and it'd just be silence. You could hear the echo of our sound throughout the space. And again, I would be in awe. And then when the organ came in and I felt it at my feet, again, in awe. It was just the whole entire thing was incredible, the way that it looked, the way that it sounded, the closeness of the community as we all sang together and performed this piece. It was all just, it was an incredible thing.
Now, was this one of those things where you got a piece of music when you got there, or was this something that you guys rehearsed early on? I mean, you got to deal with acoustics and heaven knows what else when you get out of there. You know, I mean, this isn't just a get on the stage and, hi, it's me.
No, not quite. This was a piece that it kind of depended on the choir. Some choirs got more time with a piece than another one did. Like the Hail Stork, for example, that was one of the pieces that we sang at Carnegie. And the Waldorf Choir also performed that at our Masterwork Festival not too long ago. Mm-hmm. But we hadn't performed the Chariot Jubilee yet, but we had been working on it. And then our first time performing that was on the Carnegie Hall stage. And then for some choirs it was different. Some of them hadn't performed either piece, I believe. And then some of them had only performed the Chariot and hadn't performed the Hail Stork. So
I got lots of different answers from different people. I mean, some people were like, I got this in November. And we're like,
wow.
Yeah. So the person said that they got this music in November, which was very surprising.
Yes, that's impressive.
But there was a lot of variance because there were some people who got it like a month, if that.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. But yes, so it kind of differed, but we did get plenty of rehearsal time when we got there. We had multiple hours in almost every single day of us being in New York that were designated for all of the different choirs together to practice and rehearse with our different conductors.
And again, I go back to this whole thing about the acoustics in that place, because you probably... The one thing that artists always talk about, and I've heard about this constantly, is the fact that you're singing, and all of a sudden, something comes back, and you don't know where you are.
Yeah.
I mean, those are things that you really have to focus in and try to pinpoint what your mouth is doing versus what the wall back in the back is doing to you.
Yes, do not trust your ears is what we kept on being told. Trust the conductor's hand, the conductor wand. Look there, stop trusting your ears quite as much, because as important as they are, they will lie to you on that stage.
Follow your neighbor who you hope is following the conductor, right? Yes. Coordination obviously is something as well too. I mean, you're working together as a group out there and putting together some complicated pieces. I mean, tell me a little bit about the music that you're talking about here. What is it like? What is it about?
So we did about 20-minute... Oh, what's the word?
I forgot the word as well.
I forget what the word is. But they were about 20-minute long pieces that were continuous. One was three movements. The other was straight through. Helena already mentioned the names, but they were the Chariot Jubilee and I Will Lift Up Mine Eyes. Is it just I Will Lift Up Mine Eyes? Or is it To the Hills? I believe
you can add To the Hills.
I Will Lift Up Mine Eyes, parentheses, To the Hills.
Right. I know it. I know it. Story. Yeah.
So they were both really, really lengthy pieces, and those were just the only two that we did. And they were both very spiritual in nature, and they were, because of that, had a lot of significance. Let me see. I'm blanking. You have anything you'd like to say?
I do know that there was like one thing that we talked about a lot is that it had, like, the spiritualness of it had a lot to do with the Black community. Yes. That was something that was important for us to know when we were going into performing it, was the message that we were spreading. So,
and that's not something, by the I'm going to get so, I'm going to, some people are going to be driving in their car going, oh God, there he goes again. You're taught not only the words, the music, but you're also taught the emotion that's back behind it as well, too. Yes. Mm-hmm. How do you find inside of you that, because you got about 40, 50 people here who have got their own different ranges of emotion. You've got to come up with a nice blend in order for it to work. What kind of emotion are we looking at here? I mean, I know the song. I'm just going to ask the question, okay? Thanks for playing.
One exercise we did to kind of get the emotion was Dr. Bertram, our director, and the second movement of the Hail Stork at the very beginning was like, okay, this is a very emotionally deep piece of the song. So at the very beginning, you need to write in a word that you feel represents what this piece is like, is conveying, what emotion this is.
Brilliant.
Write just one word. And then we would share our words with each other on what word did you use to represent this part of the piece. Mm-hmm. And that went a long way, because it, even just a small bit of thinking about it, gives you one thing, one emotion to think about as the piece goes on. And then when you hear other people's, you're like, okay, so this is where I'm similar to these people, and this is what I'm thinking that these people are thinking. And it really goes a long way to create that emotional connection.
One of the things that we had that I remember when we were doing that piece many, 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 many moons ago, or a similar piece to it, was the fact that we had to think about the oppression that was going on.
Yes.
And I remember our conductor, God bless her, she sat there and she said, I want you to think about the worst ever memory you've ever had.
Oh.
And then convey that into a song. And you want to talk about, after the whole thing was done, after our first rehearsal, tears were all over the choir
room. That's not great for singing or for mental health.
But it worked. I mean, when people heard it, they all of a sudden, I mean, you don't know this song from Adam. All of a sudden, now you're sitting there and you're starting to cry and you're in the crowd. It's like, oh my goodness, this is so powerful. Mm-hmm. You draw on those emotions, I'm sure.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was something that we did talk about a little bit, was not too much, because they definitely didn't want us in a puddle of tears on the stage. That wouldn't leave the best impression. No.
It's murder on the guy's makeup, by the way.
But yes, thinking about something that was really troubling for us, something that was a very difficult thing to overcome, and trying to convey that emotion as much as we possibly could, of course, without falling apart. But yes, that was something that was absolutely conveyed to us, and that we were meant to convey to the audience.
Yeah.
All right. So ultimately, between the two of you, while we have just a few minutes of here, what was the biggest thing you took away from this trip? Was it the performing? Was it Carnegie Hall? Was it the camaraderie with your fellow choir mates out there? What did you take away?
I think I'm going to say the community as a choir, and I think, Helena, you might have a similar answer. I don't know for sure, but a lot of this trip ended up being a really connective experience for us as a choir. Like, I heard multiple people say, like, I think I had a conversation with everyone on this trip, like everyone in the music department that came on the trip. And that, I mean, not that people didn't like each other, but like, there are probably people before this trip that didn't have conversation who had extensive conversation after the trip. And I can say the same for myself. Mm-hmm. And that is alone creates a lot of connection. And then there's the actual aspect of singing together in a space like that, in a community like that, does so much to bring you together. It does so much to get us thinking on the same page. Like, we were all talking about, oh yeah, this is the aspects of the music that we're noticing. This is the aspects of the music that we're feeling like are being conveyed, or we feel like we're doing well, and this is what we're doing great. And we just got so much more excited to be together and to sing together after being together on this trip and on that stage. So that, for me, is the biggest takeaway.
And as far as you're concerned, Helena, what did you take away from this?
I think that he said it pretty well, that, like, I remember when we were in our rehearsal space, which was a room, and I think it was like a gathering room in a hotel.
Yeah.
we got to speak to so many people that we had never met before, mm-hmm. and in different choirs, and hear the different blends. And we got to meet another director that we had never worked with before and likely never would have worked with before.
Yeah.
And we got to see how other people would react to our director. We got to, again, what he said, we got to speak to people in our community that maybe we weren't as close with.
Mm-hmm.
I myself consider myself a quite social person. So yes. Everyone there mm-hmm. I had personally gotten to talk to a lot. But I remember kind of watching throughout the trip people interacting with each other and just smiling to myself when I saw people getting closer that really I had never even seen have a conversation before. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty wonderful, and it felt like we all became a little bit closer.
Yeah. So to future students at Waldorf, is this worth it?
Yes.
I'd say so. I'd say that if you like a smaller community that likes to dip their toes into the really big communities, yeah. this is a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get close with people here.
I'm sure you probably got the ultimate question. You're from where?
Yes, so many times. But I honestly, I get that when I'm in Iowa too. A couple weeks ago, I went back, because I'm not from there, but I went to Iowa City where my brother and my best friend live to celebrate my best friend's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I met some people there, and someone asked me where I went to school, and I said Waldorf, and they went, where? And I said, in Forest City, and they said, huh?
They don't even know where Forest City is.
Yeah, so then I had to explain the state and where everything was located in reference to Forest City.
Mm-hmm. Waldorf University, the best kept secret, even in Iowa. There you go. There you go. That's not, and by the way, that's not intended as a slam. It can actually be a very, very good thing if you stop and think about it.
The hidden gem.
Especially in this day and age where you do, have that hidden gem that's out there, which is amazing.
Yes.
Jackson Everett, Helena Denner, thank you so much for being a part of this whole thing. And congratulations.
Thank
you so much. Welcome back. I'm glad you made it through TSA.
Yes.
We are glad as well.
All right. We'll come back in a little bit here on Mix 107.3. You're listening to The Morning Stretch. I'm AJ and for Mark.